Good evening, dearly beloved one. Our text tonight is in 2 Peter 3, chapter 3, verse 18. And we will be looking at other texts as well, so it's not only one verse, but it will all be collaborating. All the verses will be collaborating with the topic on the growth in grace. So let me read it as faith, as probably as shown it in the screen. But I'll read it. I'll read it before you. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and ever. I choose this text tonight because I want to relate it to that message last Sunday about the glory of God in delighting in him. Just to echo those verses in Jeremiah 9, verse 24. I would read verse 23 as well. Thus said the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Verse 24, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in this I delight, says the Lord. Heavenly Father, as we look into this verse, humble us before thee, that we might know how to delight in knowing you through your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that as we are saved by grace through faith alone, and in Christ alone, and for the glory of God alone, and through the scriptures alone, may we continue to grow in grace, O Lord, which continually draw us to yourself for strength and spiritual growth that we want to experience, O Lord, and which you have willed for thy church to grow, O Lord. Forgive us for our many sins if this growing in grace have been neglected, O Lord, in our individual lives, and as your people. Thank you for the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that can wash away our sins and continue to reignite our desire, Lord, to grow deeper in knowing you as we walk with you in our pilgrimage in this world. Lord, bless this study tonight to glorify thee in our individual hearts, and to know thee more, O Lord, that we might be the servants that need to be faithful and to grow deeper in the knowledge of in the God of our salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Speak to us now, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So the text that is before us that I read, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to him be glory both now and forever. Now, this topic hold to be deeply be in the forefront of our Christian experience, whether we are aware of it on a daily basis, the need to grow deeper in the knowledge of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is something that we need to be reminded of, even in all the preaching of God's word, in the evening and the morning service. This truth should echo, should be echoed in our reading and meditating upon thy word through his servants. It should create an interest to every true Christian. It naturally raises the question, do we grow in grace? Do we advance in our religion? When I say it in our religion, do we grow in our experience in Christianity, in our walk with our Lord Jesus Christ? Do we make progress? To a mere formal Christian, I cannot expect the inquiry to seem worth attention. The man who has nothing more than a kind of Sunday religion, whose Christianity is like his Sunday clothes, put on once a week and then lay aside, such a man cannot, of course, be expected to care about growth in grace. He knows nothing about such matter. They are foolishness to him. According to 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, or foolishness, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. But to everyone who is downright earnest about his soul and hungers and thirsts after spiritual life, the question ought to come home with a searching power. Do we make progress in our religion or in our Christian experience? Do we always feel that need to grow? Do we grow? The question is one that is always useful, but especially so at certain seasons. During Saturday night, preparing for our worship, during Communion Sunday, and trying to remember with thoughtfulness someone's birthday, especially those of our faith, members of the faith, and trying to also celebrate Christmas for the coming of the Lord, and also the end of the year or the coming of the new year. All these seasons that owe to set us thinking and make us look within. Time is very fast flying. Life is fast ebbing away. The hour is daily drawing nearer when the reality of our Christianity is tested. The hour is daily drawing nearer. Yes, when we are severely tested too. And it will be seen whether we have built on the rock or on the sand. Surely, it befits us from time to time to examine ourselves and take account of our souls. Do we advance in spiritual things? Do we grow? Of course, these are all individual personal questions. But as God's people, we must encourage one another in reminding ourselves on this very important aspect of our Christian life. The question is one that is of special importance in the present day. Crude and strange opinions are floating in men's minds on some points of doctrine, and among others, on whether growth in grace is an essential part of true holiness. By some, it is totally denied. By others, it is explained away and pared down to nothing. By thousands, it is misunderstood and consequently neglected. In a day like this, it is useful to look fairly in the face of those subject of Christian growth. As we consider the subject tonight, I want to make mention of the reality of growth in grace, the mark or signs of growth in grace, and the means of growth in grace. We may not probably finish everything, particularly the means of grace, but we can tackle the reality of growth in grace and the mark or signs of growth in grace, hopefully. I do not know you or your Christian background in whose hands this text may have fallen, but I am not ashamed to ask your best attention to its contents. Believe me, the subject is no mere matter of idle speculation and controversy. It is eminently practical subject, if any, is in true Christian experience. It is intimately and inseparably connected with the whole question of sanctification. It is a leading mark of true saints that they grow. I repeat that. It is a leading mark of true saints that they grow. The spiritual health and prosperity, the spiritual happiness and comfort of every true-hearted and holy Christian are intimately connected with the subject of spiritual growth. Now, consider first the reality of growth in grace. That any professor should deny the reality of Christian growth is at first sight a strange and melancholy thing. But it is fair to remember that man's understanding is fallen no less than his will. Disagreements about doctrines are often nothing more than disagreements about the meaning of words. I try to hope that is so in the present case. I try to believe that when I speak of growth in grace and maintain it, I mean one thing, while some of our brethren who deny it may mean quite another. Let me therefore clear the way by explaining what I mean. When I speak of growth in grace, I do not for a moment mean that a believer's saving interest in Christ can grow. I do not mean that he can grow in safety, acceptance with God, or security. I do not mean that he can ever be more justified, more pardoned, more forgiven, more at peace with God than he is the first moment that he believes. I hold firmly that the justification of a believer is finished, perfect, and complete work, and that the weakest saints, though he may not know and feel it, is as completely justified as the strongest. I hold firmly that our election, calling, and standing in Christ admit of no degrees, increase or diminishing. If anyone dreams that by growth in grace in justification, he is utterly wide of the mark and utterly mistaken about the whole point I am considering. I will go to the stake God helping me for the glorious truth that in the matter of justification before God, every believer is complete in Christ. Colossians 2:10. I just want to go to that text. Colossians 2:10. It says, going back to verse 9 for the context, for in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. Nothing can be added to his justification from the moment he believes, and nothing taken away. When I speak of growth in grace, I only mean increase in the degree, size and strength, vigor and power of the graces which the Holy Spirit plants in a believer's heart. I hold that every one of those graces admits of growth, progress, and increases. I hold that repentance, faith, hope, love, humility, zeal, courage, and the like may be little or great, strong or weak, vigorous or feeble, and may vary greatly in the same man at different periods of his life. When I speak of a man growing in grace, I mean simply that his sense of sin is becoming deeper. His sense of sin is becoming deeper. His faith is becoming stronger. His hope is becoming brighter. His love is becoming more extensive. His spiritual mindedness is becoming more marked. He feels more of the power of godliness in his own heart, and he manifests more of it in his day-by-day life. He is going on from strength to strength, from faith to faith, and grace to grace. I leave it to others to describe such a man's condition by any words they please. For myself, I think the truest and best account of him is this: he is a man growing in grace. One principal ground on which we can build this doctrine of growth in grace is the plain language of the scripture. If words in the Bible mean anything, there is such a thing as growth, and believers ought to be exhorted to grow. What does Paul say in this following text? Your faith is growing more and more. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 10. I'll read it to you. It says, beginning from verse 9, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all brethren, to all brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more. So it is an exhortation to grow in the love of Christ. What about 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. It says, we owe always to give thanks to God, brothers, as is right. because your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of everyone of you for one another is increasing. You see the observation of Paul among the brothers in Thessalonica, that is exhorting them to love everyone growing abundantly. That is his prayer. And the love for one another is ever increasing. Colossians, growing in the knowledge of God. Colossians 1:10. Colossians 1:10. It says, from the context of verse 9 before 10, it says, and so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Of course, the knowledge of God is all based on the grace, ever growing in the knowledge of grace, or growth in the grace of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 15. I just pick this up. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verse 15. It says this: we do not boast beyond limit in the labors of others, but our hope is that as your faith increases, our area of influence among you may be greatly enlarged. Again, that's related to the growth in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:9. I just selected this verse for our meditation tonight. Philippians 1:9. It says this, context from verse 8, for God is my witness, how I yearn for you with all the affection, with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it's my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and discernment. You see the balance there? Our love is balanced and abound more and more with knowledge, a deeper knowledge of God in Christ, and all discernment. And when we grow in the knowledge of Christ and the grace of God, then we are granted that discernment that we face in this world, in this wicked world, that we are not being swayed to follow the things of this world. And then the instruction that Paul gave to the Thessalonians is this. We'll go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1. Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Finally, brethren, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus Christ that as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do more and more. That means our personal walk in pleasing God, and that is related to growth in grace and the knowledge of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what about the Apostle Peter? That is the Apostle Paul, reminding us of the growth in grace. What about the Apostle Peter. What does he say? Well, he said in 1 Peter, in 1 Peter 2:2, it says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in 2 Peter as well, 3:18, which I read, verse 2 Peter 3:18, it says here for us, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and to the day of eternity. So they are both the same in the exhortation of the Apostle Paul and Peter. In their ministry of teaching the doctrine of grace, both Peter and Paul are the same in their emphasis for the church people, for God's people, the members of the body of Christ, to grow deeper in the knowledge of him who loved us and died for us, and that we should also grow in his grace. I know not what others think of such texts that I just read to you, what you think about them. To me, they seem to establish the doctrine for which I contend and to be incapable of any other explanation. Growth in grace is taught in the Bible. I might stop here and say no more, but the other on which I build the doctrine of grace or the growth in grace is the ground and of facts and experience. I ask any other reader of the New Testament whether he cannot see degrees of grace in the New Testament saints whose personal history or experience are recorded as plain as the sun, as noonday. I want men to look at growth and hope and pray and look at growth in grace as a thing of infinite importance. And as a church, we must pray that this is also of infinite importance for our individual soul. In a more practical sense, our best interest would be met with a serious inquiry into the question of spiritual growth. So let's consider the reality of practical experience and fact of the need to grow in grace. Growth in grace, applying those verses that we have, that the Apostle Paul and then the Apostle Peter have said to us, growth in grace is the evidence of spiritual health and prosperity. Now, in a child or flower or a tree or a plant, we are all aware that when there is no growth, there is something wrong. Healthy life in an animal or vegetable will always show itself by progress and increase. It is the same with our souls. If they are progressing and doing well, they will grow. Secondly, growth in grace in one way to be is one way to be happy in our Christian experience or in our Christian religion. Growth in grace is one way to be happy in our Christian experience. God has wisely linked together our comfort and our increase in holiness. He has graciously made it our interest to press on and aim high in our Christianity or in our Christian experience. there is a vast difference between the amount of sensible enjoyment which one believer has in his experience compared to another. But you may be sure that ordinarily the man who feels the most joy and peace in believing and as the clearest witness of the Spirit in his heart is the one who grows. I think that's very clear and straightforward. The third aspect of growth in grace in one's experience is one secret. Growth in grace is one secret of usefulness to others. The reading of the Apostle Paul's statements on those various verses should echo this in his prayer, particularly his exhortation continuously from his lips as well and from the Apostle Peter. They are both emphasizing their prayer and teaching on growing in grace. Our influence on others for good depends greatly on what they see in us. I'll repeat that. Our influence on others for good depends greatly on what they see in our individual lives. Therefore, on the growth that they see in us, growth in grace. The children of the world measure Christianity quite as much by their eyes as by their ears. The Christian who is always at a standstill, to all appearance, the same man with the same life, with the same little faults and weaknesses and besetting sin and petty infirmities, is seldom the Christian who does much good. The man who shakes and others' mind in the knowledge of growing in grace and setting the example of progress, not because of his lips, but because the way he lives, it does much good to our very fellow brothers and sisters. The man who constantly struggles with a lot of trials and pain and sorrows in life are those who continually follow God, seeking God, believing in God, hope in God, seeking God's wisdom in humility to live such kind of growth in grace. The man who shakes and try to pray and stir up others in his prayer is the man who continually yearn for improving and going forward. Man thinks there is life and reality when that brother and sister in the Lord see growth of grace in his or her life. Another aspect, of growth in grace is that growth in grace pleases God. Now, it may seem an astonishing thing, no doubt, that anything done by such creatures as we are can give pleasure to the Most High God. But so it is a reality. It is possible. The scripture speaks of walking so as to please God. The scripture says there are sacrifices with which God is pleased. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16. Let me just quote that verse. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifice are pleasing to God. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. I read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1 already. The gardener who loves to see the plants on which he has bestowed labor or spent labor flourishing and bearing fruit in the plants that he planted, continue to do some laborious work so that there is going to be a fruit to see. It cannot but disappoint and grieve him to see them continues stunted and remaining or standing still. Now, what does our Lord say? I am true. He says in John 15. Go to that verse. John chapter 15, verse 1. This is what he says. I am the true vine, and my Father is the wine dresser, or is the vine dresser, or you can put it in another translation, is the gardener. And in verse 8 of the same chapter, it says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. The Lord Jesus takes pleasure in all his people, but especially in those who bear much fruit and grow. And lastly, we will consider on this first aspect of our reading and meditation on 2 Peter 3:18 is that growth in grace gives us the desire to know above all that growth in grace is not only a thing possible, but a thing for which believers are accountable. Let me repeat that. We will not only think that it's possible, but it is a thing which every one of us are accountable in the growth, in our personal, individual growth in grace. To tell an unconverted man dead in sin to grow in grace would doubtless be very absurd. To tell a believer who is quick and alive to God to grow is only summoning him to a plain scriptural duty. In other words, it is our scriptural duty to quicken and to stir up one another to grow in grace. And I think that's, if you all listen in between lines in our prayer, we are all actually mentioning God's grace, isn't it? And by that, we want to show our need for others to show, for others to feel our desire, and for that person, our desire, not only personally, but for the other person to experience growth in grace. And the way that we also share our experience when we praise God in our prayer for all the works of God, God's grace in our individual lives. In time of sickness, in times of joy, when God blesses us. But to our neglect, sometimes, most of the time, it's not only sometimes, but when in times of difficulties, in times of deep, deep and painful trials, we certainly do not hear people how that brother or sister can grow in grace. So it's very encouraging when people speak of the grace of God when they are in deep, great dire of being, of growing deeper in the knowledge of God's grace, when one is faced with such painful trials in life. So that brother delights to give more grace, particularly James 4:6, and this is my last verse for you. James 4:6 encourages us to see that experience. James 4:6. But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You know, personal humility is the work of God's grace. Unless God cannot choose us in the work that God has given us as his people, individually and corporately, if there is no spirit of humility emanating or showing up to each other. So humility is such a great big ingredient that God would like to delight in seeing his purpose for us to grow in grace. He delights in the well-being of his servants, according to Psalm 35, verse 27. And I'm closing on this. Psalm 35, there you go. Psalm 35, verse 27. I'm quickly turning to it now. It says, let those who delight in my righteousness shout for joy and be glad and say evermore, great is the Lord who delights in the welfare of his servant. Well, we must continue to show delight when we see progress in our fellow believers. We must continue to echo that vibrancy and overflowing joy in that brother or sister when she's growing in grace. But that is not to just tap on her shoulder or in his shoulder when someone in one's employment see a great work that you have done, or try to pinpoint someone to be praised before their fellow employees. No, we don't do that for the sake of encouraging a person, but we show delight. We show in our prayers and praises and thanksgiving for such growth in our fellow brothers and sisters when they are growing in the Lord, in his grace. So when someone is actually not growing, it's not the fault of perhaps maybe people say, God is always silent on my prayer. We should not blame God, but we should blame ourselves. And we ourselves are to blame and none else if we do not grow in grace. But God has a way of reminding us in repeating that verse, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In that text, 2 Peter 3, verse 18. And next time, I think we will begin on the marks of growth in grace. And as I said a while ago, we cannot finish everything tonight. This is such a vast topic. But then we will just post from there until we see each other again next the opportunity. Praise the Lord.